The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout this extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, on all the major feasts, the Church beckons us to ponder that mystery anew within the light of the special graces of the Jubilee year, and also to learn more about mercy from each of those feasts that we celebrate over the course of this year. Normally, on the Solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord, the Church ponders deeply three realities. We can look at each of these realities within the prism of mercy. First is the reality of heaven, to which Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. Second reality is of the great commission he gave us as he was departing, and how that fits in to his merciful plan for the world's salvation. And then the third is the help he gives us in order to fulfill that mission and come to the place that he has prepared. Let's dive into the deep end of the ocean of the mercy contained in each of these mysteries. First is the reality of heaven. Jesus ascended to his Father and to our Father, to his God and to our God. He returned home. He returned to where he really belongs. He returned to where he wants to commune with us forever. And in the letter to the Hebrews today, we see why he returned there and what it was all about. He entered into the true Holy of Holies, the reading tells us, not to offer himself repeatedly, not to offer himself with blood that wasn't his own, but he has appeared in order to take away sin by that sacrificial offering. He's gone to heaven precisely to complete that mission, to present himself as that sacrifice forever, to take away the sins of the world. And that's why the author of the letter to the Hebrews doesn't say that Jesus is continually offering himself, because at this point there is that eternal offering. And then when he appears again from the same place that the angels said to the apostles looking up into heaven that Jesus would return in the exact way that he had left, he's going to return not as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, because that is perpetual, but he's going to come to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. In heaven, what is the Lord Jesus doing? He's rejoicing in the perfection of his mission as the Lamb of God, having come into the world precisely in order to make salvation possible. And the letter of Hebrews goes on with regard to Jesus' mission of mercy eternally in heaven until he comes again to give salvation to those who eagerly await him. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since through the blood of Jesus we have confidence of entrance into the sanctuary, through the mercy shed by that blood, he has made a red carpeted path, we could say. We have confidence to enter into that holy of holies. We have confidence to embrace our vocation to be saints by the new and living way he opened us through the veil of his flesh. And therefore, since we have a great priest over the house of God who's making this sacrifice of his entire life, let us approach with a sincere heart and absolute trust. Those are the words we hear at the beginning of the confessional rite. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water, living, in other words, in the mercy of the Lord, let us hold without waver to the confession that gives us hope, for you have made his promises trustworthy. Jesus has gone there as our high priest, and we are all following him on that pilgrimage. He has laid the path by his mercy. And because of that mercy, we have confidence to persevere in the way of holiness. Sure, we're going to trip up. Sure, we're going to fall. Sure, we're going to need to be bathed again in the clean water of his mercy. But we have confidence because if Christ has done all of this and he is faithful, we recognize that the help will be there. Elsewhere in the letter of the Hebrews, we say, so let us confidently approach the throne of grace so that we might find mercy in our time of need. As we celebrate Jesus' entrance into heaven where he's gone to prepare a place, we follow him unwaveringly along this way. We're confident in that mercy, that no matter what we do, his mercy is greater. And that as long as we don't waver in our recognition of that need, we will join him once and for all there. I like to say throughout this year of mercy, that as long as we have real trust in the mercy of the Lord, not just at a conceptual level, but at an existential level, if we hope in that mercy and regularly receive it, we will be saved. Second thing Jesus did on this solemnity is he gave the church our great commission. Sending into heaven, he told us to go to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded you, knowing that I am with you always until the end of time. At the ascension, Jesus took off the training wheels of our discipleship. I used to love to say to my parishioners that Jesus could have stayed on earth until the end of time himself. He could have said to us, you're all a bunch of klutzes. I don't trust you. I don't think you're actually going to be able to fulfill the mission because I know all your defects. And so I'm just going to do it myself. Thanks for the offer. But I just want to make sure this actually works. No, he didn't do that. He entrusted his mission of the salvation of the world to us, not to put pressure on us, but because he knew that we would be able to accomplish it. He trusted in our correspondence enough that he gave us the completion of his mission. What an extraordinary gift that is. And that mission is the mission, as we hear in the gospel today, that we would preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem, that we would preach his message of mercy everywhere. And that repentance from sin in the name of Jesus is in fact possible. And that we are those walking, breathing, living signs that not only is it possible, but that it's happened and that we are witnesses of all of these things, most especially the power of His mercy and the joy and the beauty that comes when someone receives that gift. That's the great mission of the church. We are that field hospital caring for the wounded throughout the world. That those in the church must be, as Pope Francis says, above all, ministers of mercy, instruments of the mercy of God. As we look at the entirety of our life, as we look at the various tasks that God will give us, and they will vary over the course of time, it is all about mercy. Our task of prayer is first and foremost the task of mercy. Our one-on-one contacts with the people to whom the Lord sends us and whom He sends to us, it's all fundamentally about opening themselves up to God who is merciful. Even the little things that wouldn't seem to have much of a direct connection to mercy are in fact all about mercy. Preparing food, cleaning the bathrooms, even making our bed are all meant to be acts of charity toward others. What an incredible gift it is for us to become all missionaries of mercy, not one of 1,142 across the globe, but one of 2 billion sent on out to the entire world. On this Solemnity of the Lord's Ascension, we recommit ourselves to that great commission that Jesus, in ascending into heaven, has entrusted us with this task. And that brings us to the third point. He hasn't left us alone in the completion of this task. He knows our frailties. He knows that occasionally we will waver. Not out of a lack of willingness so much as just out of our human finitude. But to help us, to give us confidence, He sent us the great gift. You know, it's interesting. Pope Benedict used to love to comment on this scene of the Ascension in St. Luke's Gospel. Because as Jesus led them as far as Bethany, He raised His hands and blessed them. And as He was blessing them, He parted from them and was taken up to heaven. And Pope Benedict says, He left us in a very act of blessing. The voice of the Greek, the tense, being used is that He never stops blessing us. The Ascension is an act of continual blessing. And what is that blessing? Look, it's the blessing of His mercy. Jesus risen from the dead, as we see in the way He wanted St. Faustina to remind us of how He interrelates with us at all times. He is blessing us with His mercy. And the incarnation, we could say, of that mercy, the instantiation of it, is the power of the Holy Spirit. As you pray in that formula of absolution, God the Father of mercies through the death and resurrection of His Son has reconciled the world to Himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. God sends the Holy Spirit precisely in mercy. Mercy in so many ways. Pray in four and five of the Veni Creator Spiritus about this act of mercy of the Lord. Accende lumen sensibus. Ignite the light of our senses. To instruct the ignorant is an act of mercy. And before we're sent out to do that, God the Holy Spirit does it for us. Infunde amorem cordibus. To pour Your love into our hearts. Before we're called to love others with mercy, God fills us with that love. Inferma nostri corporis, virtute firmans perpeti. Strengthen our weak and frail body with Your perpetual power. The power of that mercy so that we might in fact be merciful to others. Hostem repellas longius. Get evil as far away as possible from us in Your mercy.
donis pro pacem protinos. Grant us speedily the peace. Fitemus omne noxium. Take away everything that harms us. That the blessing of the Holy Spirit and His mercy is precisely one who does all of these acts of mercy for us. In the Veni Sancte Spiritus, we likewise ponder that work where we turn to Him and we say, Lava quod est sordidum. Take away whatever in us is dirty. Riga quod est devium. Put back on the right path whatever has gone astray. Sana quod est saucium. Heal whatever is wounded inside. We'll have a chance over the course of this decenarium to ponder far more the Holy Spirit and mercy. But as we ponder Jesus ascending into heaven, blessing us continuously, He's constantly sending us the gift of the Holy Spirit, precisely as His guarantee of mercy. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to hunger for heaven even more and to join in Jesus' eternal prayer as our high priest who has gone through the veil. It is the Holy Spirit that strengthens us to be able to be witnesses with Him until the ends of the earth, witnesses of this mercy, heralds of this call, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. It's the Holy Spirit Himself who helps us to respond to the gift of the Holy Spirit and to receive that blessing of Almighty God and let it change our life in such a consequential way that we, in turn, become God's blessing, the blessing of mercy for the whole world. This is what we indeed celebrate today. And we do it most powerfully in the Mass. It's here that Jesus continually acts as the eternal high priest, choosing an instrument by His mercy in order to give us the great gift. It's here at Mass that He finishes precisely blessing us and giving us that commission to go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Announce it in a particular way, full of His peace, glorifying the Lord in our life. And it's here that we await the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that not only will transubstantiate bread and wine into Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, but transubstantiate men and women, a priest and sisters of life, into one body, one spirit in Christ. God has mounted His throne to shouts of joy. Hear the blare of trumpets.